Okay. We are on page 4 at the bottom of the page, but there was a question. There was a question that was asked last week. No. Do you remember it?
Yes, I do.
What was the question? How could the ground not produce what Hashem wanted it to do? Hashem said the earth should produce trees, that the bark of the tree tastes like the fruit, and the trees didn't do that, or the earth didn't do that. And therefore, when after Adam and Chava sinned, when Hashem was cursing everybody, Adam and Chava and the snake, it also says, Arura Adama Bavurecho, the earth is going to be cursed. And over there Rashi says, what the Medrash says, that what was the curse? Because even when the earth also didn't listen to Hashem. But the question we said last week was, Rashi doesn't say it, but the Medrash says it there. Okay. So question is, how is it possible? People have a Yetzer Hara. People have free choice. Vegetation doesn't have a free choice. How is it possible it doesn't listen to Hashem? So, one of the answers, which is a fundamental aspect in Yiddishkeit, it refers, number one, like we said, to the angel that's in charge of the earth. Not the earth itself. The earth doesn't do anything. The angel that's in charge of the earth, well, just like we learned, you speak about Mitzrayim. You speak out the angels in charge of Mitzrayim, or whatever it may be. Now, the reason why the angels of the earth didn't do what Hashem wanted it to, it learned from an earlier pasuk that we learned. When Hashem created light, the pasuk Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Hashem said, let there be light, and it was a different light created, right? The first light you're able to see from one end of the world to the next. And Hashem said the world wasn't worthy of it. The wicked weren't worthy of it. So Hashem hid it. Did he hide it in Torah? Did he hide it for the tzaddik of Mashiach comes? Bottom line is, Hashem created something. And he said that I don't want the wicked to benefit from it. And because he doesn't want the wicked to benefit from it, Hashem changed it. So the earth said, and this is, the earth, the malach in charge of the earth, meant well. It wasn't to go against Hashem. The malach said, if the tree, which Hashem initially said, the tree, the trunk of the tree, should taste like the fruit, so therefore what's going to happen? The wicked people are going to be enjoying something they don't deserve to enjoy. They're going to be enjoying something they don't deserve to enjoy. So the Malach said, this is what the commentaries explain. So the Malach said, let me mix into God's business, just like Hashem himself did that by the light. He made the light very powerful. He saw that the Rishayim were not worthy of it, and Hashem took away that light. So the same thing, Hashem said, let the tree taste like the fruit. Because of the wicked people, I don't want it to happen. So what was wrong with, so they meant well. It wasn't that they said, I'm not listening to you. It wasn't a rebellion, they're just not listening to Hashem. There was a reason that they saw already they'd existed in the creation. But this is a very interesting concept. Okay, and that's why I like this answer from a lot of the other answers. There's a story in the Gemara, Chizkiah Melech, one of the great Jewish kings, saw in prophecy that he's going to have a son that's called Menashe. Menashe. This Menashe was a wicked king. He became one of the Jewish kings. He did not let the Jews go up to the Beis HaMikdash. He put idols all over the place. He made Jews worship idols. Okay, he was a very bad king, so to speak, for the Jewish people. So Chizkiah HaMelech saw that he's going to have a kid Menashe. So he said to himself, why am I going to get married and have a kid who's going to be terrible? Chayto machtes that I'm not only sinning himself, but causing other people to sin. I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to have it.
He saw in prophecy himself or somebody told
him? No, he saw in prophecy. Hashem sent the Navi Yeshaya to him. And Yeshaya said to him, I have a message from Hashem. You have to get married or else you're going to die. The Navi had a message from God to the king. You're either going to get... Okay. So he says to Yeshaya, the reason why I don't want to get married because I foresee that I'm going to have this terrible son. So the Navi said to him, a very famous Gemara expression, Badekafshe drachmona lomoloch. Don't mix into God's secrets. Don't mix into God's business. God runs the world. He has his business. He runs things the way he wants to run it. Badekafshe drachmona lomoloch. Badekafshe kafshe the secrets of the Torah kovush. The secrets of God. Lomoloch, why are you mixing into? So the Chizkiah Melech said to him, Kale nevuoscha v'tzei, finish your prophecy and get out of here. You know, you have a job? Okay, God told you to tell me something? Good, goodbye. And then he turned to the wall and he davened, and he said to Yeshaya, by the way, give me your daughter to marry, and maybe in your marriage, to my marriage, well, something, it still didn't turn out. He still had Menashe. What's the Gemara telling us over here with the story with Chizkiah Melech, that part of it's in the Navi itself? You can have good intentions, but that's not what God wants. God said, I want the tree to taste like the fruit. You're going to come along now and say to me, no, I have an extremely good reason why it shouldn't be that way. And the guy says, I'm learning from you, Hashem. You also made the light and then you changed the light. Right? So he says, I have a better teacher than you. The answer is, and this is why the earth was cursed. Meaning the malach of the earth was cursed. Because God says, don't mix into my business. You do what I tell you to do. Ah, you think it's a better reason? That's none of your business. There's no such thing as a better reason.
But what can you do? He saw what he saw. If you see something that is not...
But God wanted him, obviously, to get married and have that kid. It doesn't make sense to have the kid. It would make more sense not to have him, because then he wouldn't be this evil king causing Jews to sin. That's not your business, in other words. The Navi, the prophet said to him, that's not your business. You got to do what God wants, and that's it. Whether you have a logical reason why it's better not to do it or this, Hashem says, do what I tell you to do. That's it. So therefore, when the angel of the earth decided to make, to change what Hashem wanted, because he thought it was beneficial, that was a sin that he did, because you don't mix into God's business. Okay. That was the end of the question we said we're going to answer from last week. Okay, now at the bottom of page 4, the fourth day of creation. Okay. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Yima Eres Birkia Shemayim, there should be luminaries in the Birkia, in the heaven, in the firmament of the heaven, Lahavdu Bein Hayom Vein Halayla, to separate between day and night. Now, whoever knows basic Hebrew, Yihi is singular, Ma'eres is plural. Right? Ma'eres is luminaries. Yihi is singular. Okay? So the question is, it should either be Yihiyu Ma'eres or Yihye Ma'ar. Okay? So he says, some of us should learn that it really doesn't matter Yihiyu because it's not unusual for Torah to do that. To say singular and plural and all that. Okay, now, what does Hashem say? Now again, everything was created on the first day. Sun and the moon were created on the first day. God didn't hang them in the sky, but if he nitlu ha-me'edas, nitlu with a tov. They were hung in the sky. They were created on the first day. Like we learned, everything was created on the first day. Hashem hung them up in the sky on the fourth day. Now, what did Hashem want? That the sun and the moon, yeah, should be in the firmament. Oh, by the way, Other Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Bechaya says another interesting reason why it says Yehi, singular, and Me'eres is plural. If you notice, Me'eres is even without a Vav. Okay? Me'eres is without a Vav. In fact, Rashi also says it's Me'eres without a Vav. But he says like this, because Leper, which one has its own light? The sun. The moon only reflects the sunlight. So when Hashem said Yehi singular, Me'eres, plural, because the second one, the moon, is not really a shining luminary. It's just basically the sun shining. So he says like this, Yinlei lahavdo b'ne yemu b'ne loylo. Okay, now, what happened until now, the first 3 days of creation, there was also evening and morning. Okay? So some commentaries learn, like according to Rashi, the first 3 days, the light that God created on the first day was functioning during the day and not at night, day and night, so it was evening and morning. Now, once the fourth day came, Hashem wanted a clear distinction between night and day with the two luminaries of the sun and the moon. Okay? So Hashem says there should be these lights in the fourth day became the sun and the moon. And he says like this, what should they be for? To separate between day and night, sun, day, and moon, night. They'll be served as signs or omens. Ulamayadim, for holidays. V'yamim ushanim, for days and years. Okay, what does this mean? It means like this. What does the ice mean? Ice means you can have a good sign, a good omen, or a bad omen. Yeah. Sometimes the sun and the moon are good and not good. You can have an eclipse of the sun. You can have a lunar eclipse. But it's a very interesting concept. The Gemara, the Medrash says, the Goyim, the nations of the world, Meinim Lelevana, Amilach Shemesh. They go by the sun. Jews, Meinim Lelevana, count for the moon. That's simply, it's our calendar, is a lunar calendar. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. The solar calendar, that the Goyim go by, is a solar calendar. What's the difference between the solar and the lunar calendar? The sun never changes. That doesn't change. It's always the same. Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. Yeah. January 1st, every single year from the beginning of creation is the same sunrise and sunset. March 30th is the same sunrise and sunset in every single year since the beginning of creation. Right? You can take a calendar from 100 years ago and you see March 30th, what time sunrise and sunset? That's the same sunrise and sunset today. It doesn't change. It's basically not a monthly system. Any day.
Any day.
Today happens to be March 30th, in case you didn't know. So I said, huh? April 30th, yeah, see? April Fool's.
March 30th and April 30th, they're almost the same.
Oh, it's a month apart, what's a month? Now, Shana, by the way, the Goyisha, the secular calendar, is a yearly cycle. It's how long it takes the sun to go around the earth, right? We'll get into that. The earth around the sun, the sun around the earth. But that's the two different things. The Jews go by the lunar calendar. There's no such thing as a year in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit. You have a month. In fact, in Halacha, when it says a year, it doesn't mean a year. It means 12 months. There's no year in the Jewish calendar. Yeah, we have, because we also go by Rosh Hashanah, it starts a new year. But the truth of the matter is, this calendar is set up completely lunar. What's the lunar calendar? The lunar calendar is called Chodesh. Chodesh comes from the word Chodosh, Chidush, new. The moon is always changing, right? The beginning of the month, the moon is small, 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 get bigger, 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 bigger. At the end, the last half of the month, smaller, 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 disappears, comes back. It's constantly changing. Shana, on the other hand, shoneh means to repeat. Shoneh means in Hebrew to repeat. It's the same repetition over and over and over again. In Yiddishkeit, you have both levels. We have what we say in the Musaf and Shabbos, Tamidim kesidram umusafim kehilchosam. Simply, the mean, simple meaning of the words, Tamidim, the daily korbanos, kesidram in their order, umusafim, and the Musaf, kehilchosam, like the halacha. Like the halachas of the korban Musaf. Okay? So you have, Tamidim kesidram means, simply it means, the regular daily korbanos, kesidran in proper order, umusafim, and the additional korban that you bring on Shabbos, kil chasim, like the halacha. So, how, in the Mefarshim, the commentators explain, it's much deeper than that. In Jewish life, we have the SOSOs, same old, you have the things you do every day. And then you have the additional things that you do. Okay, Jews always have to grow, like the moon always has to grow. You have in Jewish Avodah, you have Tamidim, meaning the things you do daily. You daven three times a day, you learn, you give tzedakah, you do mitzvahs, whatever you do. That's Kisidram, that's within order, Seder. Musafim means Hosafa. What does Hosafa mean? Additional. When you add and go above and beyond what you're normally accustomed to, i.e. your nature, that's musaf, he suffered to add, then we say in davening, kihil chasan. It doesn't only mean according to the halacha, it means halicha, going from level to level. So in Judaism, you also have the solar calendar, which is every day the same thing. And then you have the lunar calendar, which says Chodesh Chidush. It has to be new stuff. So Hashem says, "I'm creating the sun and the moon." You wanted to say something?
A question.
What?
So when we say like Shana Tova, if Shana
again, it's not that we don't have a year. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, is the head of the year. But the way our calendar is set up, it's not a year.
It's based on the
months. I'll give you a simple example. God forbid somebody loses a parent. Yeah? How long is the mourning for?
11.
No.
11 months.
No, 11 months is Kaddish.
No.
12 months. Yeah? The mourning period is 12 months. It's not a year. Because if there's a leap year, you have a 13th month. You don't mourn an extra month. Avelut, mourning for a parent, which is 12 months. Yeah? It's not for a year, because sometimes a year, you can have an extra month or a leap year, right? So you have 13 months. But the laws of mourning are not for a year. It's for 12 months.
I guess what my question, though, is when you say Shana, meaning repeat, and I thought, like, when a new year comes, you have, like, a new light. Like, it's supposed to be that light that wasn't...
That's the Chodesh. That's the Chiddush in the Shana. That's the Chiddush that's in the Shana. And therefore, the Jew has both things. We have the moon and we have the sun. But there's, you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, you have eclipses. Okay. I don't want to get into it now because it's seemingly a physical phenomenon. Okay. A scientific phenomenon. Lunar eclipse and solar eclipse. But the Medrash says, the Gemara says, solar eclipse is a bad sign for the non-Jews. A lunar eclipse is a bad sign for the Jews. Because we go by the moon. So if there's a blockage of the moon, it's not a good sign for the Jews. The Goyim go by the sun. So if it's solar eclipse, so it's a bad sign for them. The whole, it's not for now, but...
I lost a child on a solar or lunar eclipse. I don't know about the... I mean,
we're not bound by this. We're not bound by those things, though. Okay, let's...
That's what really happened.
Okay, I'm not saying it didn't happen. It should only have good things. Anyway, so it says Hashem is creating them as signs, okay? Because it's sometimes a bad thing for the world, But Hashem says, don't worry about it. It's only going to be good. Isis is also, what does it mean? Ice means a sign, man's guide. Like, for instance, what do you mean the sign? You know, not nowadays, but the shoremen, the ship people, yeah? The navigation of the ship was by the stars and by the moon and by the sun. And that's what it means, la'asis, to signs, as much as to guide people in traveling. Uliyamim and for years, ushanim and days and for years. Umayadim also, meaning the yamim tevim. Right? In order to know when Pesach is, right, it has to be in the spring. So that's sun. It has to be the 15th of the month of Nisan. So you know it has to do with the moon. So all the, basically, makes the Mayadim, you know, the Chagim and all that. So Hashem said, oh, now I want sun and the moon. They should be as luminaries, as lights, in the heaven. In other words, not only are they functioning in the heaven, but the sun and the moon are functioning on earth also. That means, and so it was. Meaning, what do you mean? It means that they never deviated. The sun and the moon never changed course. It never went on strike. It never went on a demonstration. It always exactly when it was.
Until Yeshua came
along. Well, no, okay, that was a miracle. But you know what? He had to pay it back.
Did he?
Yeah. When Yaakov, no, the Medrash says this. Yaakov Avinu by his dream.
Yeah.
Right? The sun set early.
Yeah.
The sun set early.
Yeah.
So the sun came to Hashem and said, hey, cheating my daytime.
Yeah.
So Hashem said, now I borrowed you, I'll pay you back by Yehoshua. And Yeshua was fighting the war. He said, Hashem is the giving day. And you have to understand, it's not that the sun was a kvetch and a complainer and, you know, like a little baby, oh, you took away my toy. The sun and the moon, Bechlal, all, not only the sun, we see it clearly in the sun, the moon also, you know, the moon comes up in the east and sets in the west, just like the sun does. Everything in the heavens comes up in the east and sets in the west. Yeah? Right? Now, why is that? Because it just picture, here's east. It's not, but pretend here's east. The sun comes up. And goes to the west. That means the whole orbit of the sun is bowing to the Shekhinah, divine presence, which the Gemara says is on the left, in the west. Shekhinah b'mayrev. In the base of Midrash, the Holy of Holies was on the west. Right? So, memizrach shemesh ad mevoyhei, muhulol shem Hashem. Okay? When it says, we say in Davin, Halu Shemesh V'yareach, Halu Kochei V'yareach, the sun praises God, the moon praises God, right? In the Alulukas. Everything praises God. How do they praise God? They come up in the east and set in the west. They're actually bowing and davening to Hashem. So the sun didn't come and say, oh, you took away my torch. The sun said, you took away my serving God. It's not fair. You can't take away my serving God. So Hashem said, I'll keep you there longer, another time. That's why by Yeshua, Hashem has been giving them, when he was fighting the war and giving, he actually kept the sun longer.
What happened to the moon then? Did he say, where's my time?
No, because he brought the moon earlier then. He just borrowed time. I mentioned this. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch. If you have a set time to daven, or a set time to learn, let's say you have a learning from 8 to 9, yeah? You're not allowed, if you come late, it's a din shulchan aruch, you owe God that time. Let's say the class is from 8 to 9, and you come 10 after 8, you owe God 10 minutes. It's a Shulchan Aruch, not me. Shulchan Aruch.
Only for learning?
No, davening. Whatever good things a person has to do, and they need to borrow it, let's say a person always, by even by themselves, they learn. Something came up, you know, they can't learn at that hour. It's not they're off the hook. Torah says, you have a debt that you must pay up.
Can we pay money instead?
Only a lot of money. A lot of money.
Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah. Okay, so he said like this. Well, in the next verse, Vayul Meriz Bekiyah Shemayim Lord and all earth, will be the luminaries in the heavens to shine even on the earth, Vayichein, and so it was. Okay, so now the pasuk says, this is an interesting pasuk. Vayas Elokim Eshnei HaMeidah Shagadeidim. God made the two big luminaries. So if you remember, we also learned by the heaven, when it says God made the heaven, the question is God didn't make it, He spoke it, and it became. So the same thing over here, what we said over there. God said, the heaven became. But God acted putting it into place. The same thing, God said, let there be a sun and the moon. The sun and the moon came into existence. But Hashem putting it into the sky in their proper places, that is called the language of action. Okay, now you have to listen carefully to this pasuk because the pasuk contradicts itself. Vayasa l'kim eshnei ha-ma'iris ha-gedelim. God made the two big luminaries. As Hamoed HaGodol L'memshela Sayyim, the big luminary, meaning the sun, to shine during the day. As Hamoed HaKotein L'memshela Salayla, and the small luminary, meaning the moon, to shine at night. Ve'esa K'chovim, and the stars. Okay? Now, if you notice the pasuk, we guys spoke about this, we're learning about Rosh Chodesh the last few days. The pasuk starts off by saying, Hashem made the two big lights, and immediately says the big light during the day and the small light during the night. So, he starts off by saying, God made two big lights, two big luminaries, Shnei HaMeiros HaGedolim, and then right away the pasuk says, the big one during the day and the small one at night. So he didn't make two big ones. So like, what's going on over here? So the Medrash says, when God made the sun and the moon equal, the moon complained to Hashem. And the moon said, again, not the moon, the angel in charge of the moon, right? Complained to Hashem and said, you cannot have two kings ruling the same thing. You made two kings over the earth, sun and moon, big lights. You can't have two kings governing at the same time. Hashem said, like a typical parent should come up, it's your idea, great, you're shrinking. So God shrunk the moon. So he's made both big. And then the moon opened up his mouth, and you have to understand, being spiritually, it's not a bunch of babies over there. So Hashem said, you can't have two kings equal. So Hashem said, okay, no problem. You shrink. We have the big one and the little one. And because the moon shrunk, so God is still a nice guy. That's why he gave him the stars. The pasuk doesn't say God said let there be stars. Look in the pasuk. It says, God said, let there be the two luminaries. Right? It doesn't say, God said, let there be stars. When does it say in the pasuk, and there were stars? After the moon became small, Amor HaKotan, the small light to shine at night. 1 minute. So then Hashem said, to make it up for you that you lost your power, I'm going to give you the stars with you at night. That means the visibility of the stars. What?
Did Hashem want moon to get smaller?
Yes.
So he made moon to ask.
See, that's why when you said before, the class between Mincha Maidiv that was talking about Kiddush Levana was not anything about you.
I know.
Yeah. Now, if you would have listened what we said, not today, but the day before, in Kiddush Levana that you don't say, we say that when Mashiach comes, v'yehi erd halavana Ka'er hachama, ka'er shivis yimei bereshis, k'mei shahaysa k'edem mi'uta. You don't say Kiddush Levana. But in Kiddush Levana we say that the moon should become as great as the sun as it was at the beginning of creation, before the moon shrunk. Okay? So therefore, the moon shrinking was part of the plan. But initially, until the moon complained, the moon and the sun were the same size. Why did God make that the moon should complain, and because of that shrink? Why didn't you just do that to begin with? Teach us a lesson that what?
To bring this star.
Teach us a lesson that what? I'll tell you what the lesson is. By the way, what's more interesting than that, what's even more interesting than that, and what I'm going to explain will explain this very strange Rashi in Chumash. Rashi quotes it from the Medrash in Parshas Pinchas. What's wrong? Oh. In Parshas Pinchas that we read on Rosh Chodesh in the Kriya, it says, Usir Izim Echad Lechatos. On Rosh Chodesh they brought a communal sin offering. Communal sin offering. What was the communal sin offering brought on Rosh Chodesh for? So there's a number of reasons. One of the things were, in case somebody didn't know they were impure, and they went into the Beis HaMikdash, so they can't bring a sin off, which is now is forbidden, by the way. If you're impure, you can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. But the guy doesn't know he's impure and walks into the Beis HaMikdash. So he didn't even know he sinned. How does he get forgiven? So the goat offering, Sir Ezim, the goat that they brought on Rosh Chodesh, was to forgive people that didn't know that they sinned. And that, for that sin. Then Rashi says in the Medrash, and this is phenomenal. So Rashi in Chumash, in Parshas Pinchas, Rashi says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, why is there a goat? So why a Pesach Rosh Chodesh? What have to do with Rosh Chodesh? So Rashi says, bring a sin offering for me, Shemi'atati Esei Yoreach, that I lessen the moon. Hashem said, which, if you take it simply, it's very difficult to understand. And here it is. Rashi says, here. Ubemedrash Hagod Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hevi Kapara Alai Al Shemiyadati Yasei Yareich. Hashem says, bring a sin offering for me. God says, I did so to speak. We'll explain to you in a second what that means. I did something wrong that I lessened the moon. So Rosh Chodesh has to do with the moon, right? So Hashem says, bring a sin offering for me, because I did something wrong. I lessened the moon. Now, first of all, God doesn't sin. God, it doesn't happen. Secondly, so why didn't he just do it right the first time?
Listen to the angel.
Does it say, why didn't God just make the big sun and the little moon, and that's it?
That
you can't. So because of that, Hashem lessened the moon. And because of that, Hashem said, I sinned.
God said he sinned?
Yeah. Bring us an offering, God says, for me, be that I lessened the moon. Okay, so explanations like this. Okay. We did this once already before, but it's Judaism 101. The first evil, tangible evil, sin, that existed in the world was the sin of Adam and Eve, Adam and Chav, the original sin as it's called. Now, it's understood, if you have a wall, okay, in order for there to become a crack in the wall, there has to be something that allowed that to happen. Not a crack, but something that could be the source eventually of the crack. Then when you have a crack, you can get a bigger crack and a bigger crack until the wall can fall down. But if there's nothing at all to cause the crack, where in the world can the crack come from? Got it? Very simple. If the world was created by Hashem, and Hashem is perfect, and the world is perfect, where does the concept of evil, of Adam and Chava doing a sin, okay, where does it come from? There has to be a cause of some refined level of evil, that in the, it's not really evil, but relative to better, it's good, and therefore good compared to better is evil, relatively speaking. So once you have that, so then it can come down into a level of tangible evil. But if there's absolutely no evil in the world, how in the world can evil come about? Okay? So Kabbalah and Chassidus explain that what was the spiritual source that allowed Adam and Chava to sin, the terrible sin, was the fact that in a more refined level of good, there was evil. What was that evil? The lessening of the moon. It's not that the moon didn't shine anymore. It's just less than before, but it still was shining. So what happened when Hashem lessened the moon? That is a refined level of evil. Like I said, it's good compared to better, which good compared to better, relatively speaking, is evil. And that level of evil of Miyata Yoreach allowed the ultimate sin of Chatei Tadas. Kabbalah and Chassidus take it a step further. What caused that to happen? What caused the lessening of the moon, which was that level of very refined evil that eventually led to the terrible sin of Adam and Chava? So it says Tzimtzum Rishon. That's not for now. The original Tzimtzum, the original concealment of godliness when he created the world from the infinite level to the finite level. And when infinite is revealed, all you have is infinite. You can't create finite from infinite. So God had to remove, so to speak, the revelation of the infinite, and then the finite was revealed, and therefore God was able to create the world. That level of evil, in the holiest of levels, that was the origin that allowed the lessening of the moon, which allowed the Eitz Hadas, which allowed all sins for all generations. Okay, now, therefore,
Hashem's fault.
Huh? It's all Hashem. But, so Hashem says like this, I lessen the moon, that's the plan, because Eitz Hadas, the sin, and when we get to Adam and Chava, we're going to talk a lot about this, Adam and Chava had to sin. That was the plan.
Why is it connected to the moon?
Because the moon lessening caused the ability to have a limited level of evil in the world in a very refined way, like we just said, that allowed the sin of Eitz Hadas. So Hashem says, that limitation that I limited the moon, which eventually led to all these sins, so bring a sin offering for me. Not God forbid he did something wrong. That was the plan.
So when the Mashiach comes, do you think that the moon will go back to its original size?
That's what we say when we say the brach on the moon. That the moon will be again like the light of the sun as it was at the beginning of creation.
On the 15th of the month.
Is when there's a full moon.
Yeah. Is it the size of the sun?
No.
If you're looking.
I mean, scientifically, the moon is smaller than Earth.
Just closer.
Yeah, I mean.
It's closer, it just looks like.
And the stars are also. It's interesting. The stars are there to serve the moon. Everybody knows scientifically the stars are much, much bigger than the moon. Much, much bigger than the moon. But they're the. They look because it's so much further.
I know, but what is the purpose of the stars?
To give light. Listen, the ship people.
The sailors.
The sailors, thank you. The sailors, That's how they went at night when they, you know, didn't have electric lights. They went based on the dippers and the schmippers, and they saw the position of the sun, I mean the stars and the moon, and they knew how to go.
So what you're saying is God himself produced
the ability to sin.
The ability to sin.
Correct. What a nice God. It's all his fault.
But what about this, the sins that are through him?
Everything's through him.
So how could you, then you say that...
Let me ask you a very simple question. Does God want us to sin?
No. Of
course. So why does he allow us to sin? If somebody eats something not kosher, yeah? They have to take their hand, yeah? Even if you eat with a fork and a knife. But you gotta use your hand, you put the food in your mouth, and you chew it. And you digest it. Now, who gives your hand the ability to move? God. Who allows your mouth to chew? Hashem. Breath? Yes?
Yes.
That means when you decide to eat non-kosher food or to speak something you shouldn't or to do something you shouldn't, if you hit somebody, okay, who gave the hand the ability to move at that moment when you're hitting? If God's power wouldn't be in the hand, it wouldn't be here. Okay? It would, God forbid, paralyze. Okay, whatever. It's okay. So if I hit somebody, or I eat something, or say something, or do something, whatever it is, right? So who gives me that ability? God. So is God helping me sin? He's the getaway car. Not the getaway car, get their car. Yeah? Is God an accomplice in the sin?
Yes.
Well, to a certain extent. Now. Now, right, okay, well, when you hear the explanation, you'll understand. So why does Hashem want, allow us to sin? So we could do tshuva.
So this is like a game he plays with his people.
Yeah.
It's
the whole world is a game. What do you think God has the world? Let me ask you a question. If God didn't make the world, would it be any less God? By definition, God is ultimate perfection.
I think it's just
He's bored.
He's bored.
Yeah, he's bored. He's bored. So that's why he made the world. What do you mean bored? The Medrash said, okay, let's put in proper perspective. I don't want everybody walking away and say, God's bored. Nisava Kodesh, the Medrash says, in Pashas Nasei, I probably said worse things. Nisava Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem had a desire. This is an expression of the Medrash. Nisava HaKodesh Baruch Hu, God had a desire to have a dwelling place in a low world. Now when you say I have a desire, it's not logical. Desire means it's not logical. And therefore the only reason I want it, because I want it. Why do you want it? I want it. Yeah? It's not logical. Which means, there's no logic in God's creating the world. God created the world because he wanted that in the lowest of the low, lowest of the low does not mean physically lowest from God, because Hashem's all over. Higher and lower in God's language is a more aware of God is higher, less aware of God is lower. Because God's all over. It's just an awareness of God. So, those worlds that are more aware of God are higher. Those worlds that are less aware of God are lower. Now, a world which is completely unaware of God, to the extent that people say there is no God, and there's atheists, and who knows what, and everything else under the sun, that's the lowest of the low. That's this world. Okay? Now, Hashem wanted, and this is where tshuva comes into the picture, by the way. Hashem wanted that in the lowest of the low, meaning a world which doesn't accept God's existence, it denies God's existence, and everything else, over there God wants a home. A home. Dira means a dwelling place. What does it mean? It doesn't say God wants to be in the low place. It's a God wants a home. We learned in the past, A person is the real you at home. In the street, you eat accordingly, you dress accordingly, you talk accordingly, you do everything accordingly. Right? When you're home alone, you want to drink from a bottle, you drink from the bottle, and you want to eat with your hands, you'll eat with your hands, and you do whatever you want. Correct? Okay. So the definition of dito, that's why every word in Torah is exact. The Medrash uses the word, doesn't say God said, I want a presence, you know, to be in the lower world. God says, I want a home. That means, in this lowest of the lowest of the lowest, I want to be able to be me, God, as I am in my essence, the real me. No revelations which are limited based on the people getting it or based on the world's deserving of it or not. I want to be me, the real me, the way I really am, my essence. Yep? Okay. That's the purpose of creation. When a person sins, they create an environment of lower than the world is by itself. Because you're sinning. When we repent, when we do tshuva, what happens? Then we reconnect to God. And the sin even becomes a mitzvah through a very lofty level of repentance. The Aveda becomes a mitzvah. So God says, sometimes, after the fact, after a person sins, did God want, in other words, like this, before I eat the non-kosher food, God says to me, don't eat it. And he doesn't want me to eat it. But after I ate it, did God want me to eat it? 100%. I am doing something he doesn't want me to do. But now he wants me to do tshuva and reach a place that I couldn't have reached if I didn't eat it. And therefore, a person can't come along and say, echt of osh, meaning, let me eat it and I'll do tshuva. And I'll reach, because that the Torah says, you might not do tshuva, you're not given the opportunity to do tshuva, it's very difficult to do tshuva, and God says no. But after the fact, God says, yeah, I wanted you to sin. You know why? Not because I want you to sin. Because I want you now to reach a level of tshuva that you couldn't have reached if you didn't sin. After the fact. Okay? So God created the sun and the moon, and God knew that Adam HaRishon is going to sin, and in essence, he wanted Adam HaRishon and Chava to sin. Why were they punished? Because they didn't know that. God told them, don't eat, and they ate. Remember, we were discussing the other day, if somebody smacks you in the face, did God want you to get hit? 100%. So why is he punished for hitting you? It's not because God said don't hit and this guy hit. It's nothing to do with you. God said, I want them to sin. That was the plan. Neira alila abnei Adam, it's the beginning of Tilim. Neira alila abnei Adam. The Medrash says the reason why Adam and Chava sinned was because that was the plan from Hashem at the beginning of creation, they should sin. Now how could God get them to sin? Where is evil going to come into the world? So God says, okay, I'm going to lessen the moon. Which, in a certain respect, I'm doing something negative. The act of lessening the moon is a negativity. God says, bring a sin offering for that. But what's the purpose of it? Tshuva. Levels that you could never reach otherwise.
Hashem wants to be an example.
Yeah. By the way, what's interesting, another interesting point, you could say even, you know, in a simpler way, God is not embarrassed to say I did something wrong. Obviously, God doesn't do anything wrong. But what is Torah saying? God said, bring a sin offering for me. Yeah? Because I did something wrong. Again, Chas v'Shalom to say God did something wrong. That was the plan. But the fact that I lessened something that was bigger, the moon and the sun were equal, and I lessened it, Hashem says, you know what? If I'm not doing as great as I am, God says, you know what? You need to repent. You need to bring a sin offering. This is very powerful, you should know, in life. I mean, it's not just, it's a joke. God lessened the moon. There was a fight. The moon, the sun, a bunch of babies. He's bigger. He got a bigger snack than I did. I mean, come on. Was he a bunch
of... The question I had is, why do you even have to go that route? He just went that route because he desired it.
Which means there's no why. That's the whole part. When you say nisava, now the Rebbe said in Yiddish, of a tiver coming to shrinking kashas, and a desire you can't ask why. Because the desire by definition means there's no reason. So, why did Hashem go that route? Then you can't ask why, because there's no why on it. He did it because he did it. Even in creation, we'll finish with this. The earth has a certain diameter, right? Or the earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, yeah? Why didn't God create the earth one more mile away from the sun? Or one more mile closer to the sun? Why is the earth, I don't know, whatever it is, 1,000 miles? Why didn't he make it 1,001 or 999? You can't ask that question because God made it the way he made it. He made it like that. By the way, the Mepharshim say, when it says the sun should shine on the earth, what it means is that the sun shouldn't burn the earth.